website. So I'm just...
Thank you for pointing that out. And I want to ask the group, because if you want to be completely raw, frank, let it all hang out, I would prefer we not record. If you want to, okay, I've got, well, how many thumbs up for not recording? I have one thumbs up for not recording. Everybody else wants to record? Okay, so modify whatever you say if you don't want to be accountable for it in the world.
Here's the thing, Diane, it doesn't have to be either or. People can decide, because we don't know, like anything else, we don't know where things are going to go in the unknown. So we can always choose afterwards and agree as a group together afterwards as well, depending on what's said. We don't know what's going to be said.
Well, what I'm saying is, please use discernment. So if you don't want to be heard by the community that will hear this that are not on the call, please use your discernment in the moment so that you are okay for this recording to go out. That's what our preference would be.
Okay. Well, you know me, I just spill it all out.
Well, and you're accountable for it. You're perfectly happy to be held accountable for whatever you say. That's one of the things I love about you most. No. Okay. So who'd like to go first? And let's just use about 3 minutes or so each for the first go round. Tamir.
What has come up since this morning is I don't like racism. I don't like everything about it. I don't like how I feel about how I feel when I'm part of it, when I see it. And I also know that it brings up huge judgment in me, and that makes me cautious and just aware that it's not such a simple thing, because one of my strong interests is to be aware of and curb judgment and criticism and comparison and racism includes all of that. So that's just what's come up with me for me since this morning, our conversation. Thanks.
If you'd like to speak next, raise your hand, and then the person before you. So Cheryl, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, the reason why I'm following on that is because I feel very similarly to Tamir. I was thinking about it and really, you know, people are putting up signs and everything. And then I think, well, really, what is going to make a difference? And I was dissecting it in the last call and breaking it down to what are my own biases, my reactions, and grounding really in the moment. And is this true? And so it doesn't have to do with somebody's color or whatever, but we assess the situation. So is it true or not? So it has to do with discernment. And then there's this aspect of discrimination and people being marginalized and not really being heard and suffering and feeling like there's no one, this is the way it is. I mean, that's kind of shocking when you start hearing people's story when they start to have a platform. And so more than anything else, I feel like some minorities need to be heard and they need to have a platform and they need to hear what's happened to them, their experience. I want to hear about the experience and really listen. And so there's not this isolation or separation as much. And so I've been thinking about that. It's really, for me, it's about discernment and not going into discrimination, like what really is true grounding and being present in the moment. So I've been taking a look at that, and that's like constantly working with ourselves and raising our own vibration. And, you know, I was also thinking too, it's like to love ourselves and love each other, we can stand strong. We can be really firm and say, hey, no more of this. And so it's also giving voice, like, you know, really letting people know, no, this is not okay. And I started remembering stories for me way back when. I remember being in junior high and this other track woman who was a French teacher decided to join another person and teach track, do the track with us. women, and she wasn't running any of the black ladies. And I remember that. And I got, she said, go watch something and come back. I didn't hear the part about come back. So I went off to cheer another team on. I came back and she said, okay, you weren't back here, so you're not going to be running in this particular event. And it was like a major event. And so I couldn't believe how manipulative this woman was. And I threw my shoes down like wasn't at anybody, but I was so infuriated because she was so manipulative and I swore. And then she called me in and I was dumb enough to say, she said, did you swear? And I go, yes, I did. And I rarely swore. She says, well, now you won't go to the Penn relays. And we were like first in the trials, which is the whole state. It was like a 110. Each person did a 110. And they didn't end up winning anything. And I said, we had a meeting with myself, the two track people, and the vice principal. And I said, okay, I am fine not running this. And my teammates were really upset. I said, however, I said, this particular person, I said, she can no longer do the clocking of the times for the people. She's not running the fastest people. They're black. And she's putting her pet at the anchor. And I said, we know who's the fastest.
Wind it up.
Yeah. But anyway, it was about speaking up. It was about like taking a stand. It was okay for me to take a loss, but it's also putting your foot down and not just waiting and observing and being passive. And I think that's where I also agree with Felicia is like, we have to take a stand. Like when we see something not right, we have to take, like to say something, be stand in our truth. When you see something that's just really off, you have to stand in your truth, no matter if it's going to be a loss to you or not. Anyway, it takes more than that. We have to speak up, we have to stand, and we have to do our own personal work. That's how I feel about it.
Hands up for who'd like to go next, please, so Cheryl can call on you.
All right. Oh, you know, part of the reason I didn't want to be recorded because I was just, I really want to talk, everyone to be able to talk. So it sounds like it's a really comfortable group. And I wanted to also say that I was talking to a friend and let her know what this, my Wednesday night calls. And her father was the last survivor of the Tulsa massacre. And she's very grateful that we're having these calls and not relying on the black community. So anyway, I thought that was important to share. You know, this is so great that we're doing this. It is so uncomfortable and it is so needed. And I have so much to say and I will do I will honor this. So I might need help, but you know, I came, whatever this lifetime and my blueprints about it, I continue to have opportunity to be in different worlds. And just as a kid, I remember my skin color felt really wrong. And as my life kind of progressed, I was always attracted to people of color. And then all my partners have been men of color, and I have found myself in working situation where I was, you know, in Oakland, I was the token Caucasoid, they call me. And we taught each other a lot. And then I've worked back in New York and again, really good learning in my early 20s. So I thought I wasn't racist. And I then worked with my son's father in Hawaii, and I got to meet my racist self. And it was shocking and surprising. And it was with the tourists that were coming in. My son's father is very dark-skinned black, and I then also in Hawaii got to experience being projected on as the man and really felt the subtleties of prejudice. and racism, which was really hard. So I was discovering my racist self, experiencing racism, which was so good because I gave birth to a young man now that walks the planet as a Black man. And he does not look like he has a white mama. And I could not wait. It was so good. It was such a rich, good experience to get this subtlety thing. And I couldn't wait to get back to where I was majority. And I was very, I mean, I remember feeling that. So fast forward, I've just had so many, I mean, I've had some amazing experiences in all realms. I worked as a chaplain at the VA and did a residency for a year and a half, which I got to face more of my racist self with the white population and white military Trump supporter and evangelical folks. And I went in trying to hold space and just hear stories instead of having an agenda or having, you know, so, and it led to really some amazing conversations, as well as my experience in home health, where I went into all sorts of cultural and race, different patients of different races. Anyway, so I've experienced all these different sides. And I am committed to continue to try to walk, holding space, having dialogue, continuing communication, working with when I get triggered. And most recently, because I get so emotional, I need to look more into nonviolent communication, and it's more for my walking in the white world, because I'm noticing my anger with some of my white friends who are now getting on board. It's just this interesting path. And again, I hold this commitment of trying to keep the dialogue going. And I've got to start, of course, here. So anyway, thank you. Blah.
Hands up for Cynthia to pick you, please.
Preeti.
Thank you, Cynthia. for me, I've never been in my life, I've never been a revolutionist, at least externally. I've never been a rebellion, I should say, even in smaller things. Even as a teen, I was very, very compliant. So that's been my, in my DNA kind of a thing. So when I see the revolution of anything at this scale, you know, this one is just an example. So similarly, you have a lot more for gender and, financial abundance or anything. So this is one flavor of the racism is just one flavor of the discrimination. So I see revolution as creating a revolution is best to create awareness. So it pushes us, me especially, to think that you do not have to tolerate, like many people have said, you know, the tolerance does not have to be there when people are being treated this way. Because as somebody who has been on the receiving end, I have tolerated behaviors, I've tolerated things to be shamed and all of that. So this revolution, I feel, just creates an awareness, and that should just be the beginning. I feel the systemic part would come only when we convert this awareness. So this awareness brings us from the conscious, unconscious to the conscious behavior. However, I believe that needs to go with certain action that becomes systemic to kind of resolve the situation. And that's going to take time. I feel that time is something that we need to feed into as a collective, to be able to absorb that awareness and make it into our action. So similar to what I shared yesterday, I feel the root cause is identity. I feel when I identify myself not as to my color of the skin or my gender or where I come from, I feel I'm better equipped to deal with things. And it would also go into, it will also feed me into my being in a certain way or becoming in a certain way. So that's what I take away from this whole revolution of what is happening, and let that just be the start of a huge or for a long journey as a collective as well as individual. And I always think the collective will be successful only when most individuals succeed in that process. So that's my mastery. Thank you. Yes, Jim.
Thank you, Preeti. That was, I've been sitting and thinking how to succinctly say what I've been thinking, and you said it so well. The collective movement can only be based on a foundation of individual awareness. I grew up in the Christian church, never questioning, never doubting, and never having a conscious personal thought. Once I was faced with a question that I had to answer for myself, having become the voice of authority when I became a minister, I thought, I know what I'm supposed to say, but is that what I want this young lady to think? Am I just inviting her to join the bandwagon? Or am I helping her make her own conscious decision? And in that moment, I knew if I had said what she expected me to say, I would be representing the faith and not myself. And so I am agreeing with Preeti in that the collective change must be based on the foundation of individual integrity and thoughtfulness and soul searching. And just personal self-awareness. So that's where I am. Thanks. Who would like to go next? Stella.
Thank you. To some extent, I agree with you, and to some extent, I disagree. And so I'm so grateful for this chance. I do think that we have personal responsibility to be in our mastery in terms of how we show up in the world. And, you know, Diane, you asked a question earlier about, is it possible to be, do you have to be non-racist or anti-racist to be a master? And I was listening to the conversation yesterday about brutes and about, and the way the Grand Council talked about brutes. To me, it sounded like there are people whose blueprint it is to master being brutish in this lifetime. And being brutish is being self-interested and is using systemic frameworks that may oppress other people for your personal interest. So in terms of that mastery, it's like, well, clearly that exists. And clearly part of the work on this planet is balancing love versus not love. So clearly there are people here who are beings who are mastering not love and beings who are mastering love. At the end of the day, we'll see if love wins. I have a feeling love will win, but I'm biased when it comes to that. I've had my experiences of not love in my original blueprint, and mostly directed at myself and at being on the side of being oppressed. And I'm, and I feel like the invitation now is to move beyond the us versus them mentality that we as humanity have been experiencing for at least 5,000 years and possibly as much as 12,000 years. I don't believe that us versus them is part of the human condition naturally. I believe it's a learned system. Now, maybe the Grand Council will elucidate me and tell me that I'm completely wrong, but I see babies who are born into the world, and unless they've experienced trauma in the womb, for the most part, they come into the world and they're all about love and joy and connection and the tapestry of life, and recognizing that, that connection is key. So just wrapping up my thought, I get the sense that a lot of where we're at right now is shifting from a place of operating out of fear and defensiveness and protection and us versus them to holding that we're all one and we're all different, and coming from a place of connection and love and play and joy and delight and all of these things. And so, yeah, I vote for the love and the sparkles and the stars within me. I have a star within me. Who wants to go next? Tammy.
Thank you, Stella. I see that people are trying to have a voice and they're trying to find their identity. And, you know, I feel that we've not really had an identity and we've not really stood up for ourselves. And this is giving people a lot of opportunity to do that. And I think it's part of everyone's evolutionary process. And in order to move past to the oneness, we have to understand the self. And we have to stand up for the self. And so I'm seeing a lot of people, even in what I would say a confusion kerfuffle, they're trying to do the best they can. They're trying to rise up. And thing is, we've not known how to rise up. We've never really been given the chance to rise up for a country, for our people, for a common theme. And so this is what I believe is happening now, is the rising up for a common theme. And it's for humanity, even though there's personal agendas being played out, and people not understanding that also violence begets violence. And so everybody's journey is different. Everybody's blueprint is different. And having a speaker now about violence and freedom and liberty and choice would be really optimal for helping people to move into a new world, a new perspective. So, thank you. Anybody else? Diane.
Felicia, if you'd go first, that'd be great. Thanks.
And quickly, is the prompt racism within me and how I as a master deal with it, or is it just anything?
I'm feeling like you can just say whatever you want for 3 minutes.
Okay, thank you.
I think most of us have just taken our slice out of whatever's top of heart and mind. So I think that's what we need to do today.
Okay. Well, thank you to everybody that has spoken. My heart's pounding. The big I don't know is very present for me, amidst having very big hard lines and opinions. So it's fascinating to be sitting with so many different pieces and I guess honing in and being a little bit more clear. I'll stick with, like, I think with my own self, it's very important for me to engage, reading, educating myself, doing that anti-racism work. I've done trainings, I'll continue to do those trainings. Right now, the ministry that I lead is addressing internalized racism. So we're gonna be partnering with some women that are in the Bay Area that are gonna be doing webinars so we can have, more of that consciousness raising, more of that healing that is so imperative. Because I realized that as long as I've been on this journey, social justice, racial justice, all these different things, there's just going to be blind spots. There's going to be places in my own self that I miss, things that I'm not seeing in a healthy, integrated fashion. And it doesn't scare me. I don't have that white fragility, at least not that I see at this stage in the game. I'm hungry. I'm like, give it to me. What are the parts of myself that need to be excised, that need to be extricated, that need to be integrated so that I can really, be a good ally and a safe person, but just whole. Just whole. So that's where it's at right now. I haven't been in the streets, which is bizarre because I'm always in the streets. I'm like the one who gets arrested. And I just haven't been. I've been, our ministry is growing out very quickly on via Zoom services. So what I'm doing is very much right in front of me, like noticing that people on this newly emerged ministry team, we have a lot of different ideas about this very topic about racism. So that's where it's at for me. Thank you.
So I'll go next. I'm going to speak very briefly because I'd like us to spend the last 3 minutes giving Megan 60th birthday blessings. Her birthday is on the 12th. And she had hoped beyond hope to be in Crete for her birthday. And that just wasn't possible because of circumstances, as we all know, that we're all dealing with. So if you can compose a blessing, and I would like to finish our call with that, because she definitely holds the other bookend to the energetic field for the Mastery Project. So as do all of you, hold a piece of the field as well. And so I'm sure she would really love to hear from you for that. When I moved to Hong Kong in 1986, I was really pissed off at the U.S. Because I had been doing a lot of rabbit hole research on how we behave overseas. And it was hard to get the information to begin with. And once I did get it, I found out things that I really was upset about learning. How we fomented revolutions in other countries, how we've been speaking out of this side of our mouth and doing all of this on the other side, coming to terms with just how incredibly hypocritical a country we are in international politics. And I wouldn't call that, I would call it prejudice. I wouldn't call it racism because it wasn't really a racial issue. it was more me and the US. So when I got overseas, I've been living based in Hong Kong for 34 years, continuing to learn about the US. And fortunately, because Hong Kong is so international, I had friends and colleagues and clients and mentors from every different part of the world teaching me one way or another about what they know about the US. And there was one morning that I woke up, it was during George Bush Jr.'s appointed 8 years. And I said to my guidance, I don't want to be an American anymore. I can't tolerate it anymore. It's too much dynamic tension for me to hang on to. And it wasn't easy to be an American in Hong Kong, not living locally. If I'd been living in the American ghetto, it would have been just like living in New York, but I didn't. I lived locally the whole time I've lived there. And guidance said to me, well, do your research, find another place to live, you know, find another citizenship. So I did diligently. I did all my work, finally picked Denmark. I have biology that goes back to Denmark on one side of the family. And I thought, yeah, I like their systems. They seem to be, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'd been told that I looked Danish by a Danish consul general. So she thought I was Danish. I thought, well, that's easy. Nobody will really know until I open my mouth and remove all doubt. And then 2 days later came a political cartoon by one of their top cartoonists from Denmark. Hit the international scene. It was that pen and ink drawing, and the man who did it, it was about a Middle Eastern group of men who had turbans on, and he called them ragheads in his tune. And I thought, damn it. Well, there goes Denmark, because the government came out and supported this man's right to free speech. And I thought, expletive, went back to my guidance, and they said, well, maybe if you don't leave the U.S., maybe someday they'll be willing to listen to what you have to say about the U.S. from a different perspective. And so here I am. The day has come. So one more thing. I got a letter forwarded to me, written by the president of one of the Ivy League schools here in the U.S., talking about his perspective on how things were going to his alumni and to his community, larger community. And I was so moved by this man putting himself on the line, speaking as a being, as a human being, to other human beings and saying, we need to do something differently here, folks. So I just wrote and I said, I really appreciate you said I'm not part of your school's community. And thank you for voicing what you said. I think it's really great. Well, I didn't expect an answer. And I got one today, from specifically a personal answer back from this man, saying, among other things, that he felt that the only way forward would be for people to get together and work our way together through this. So I wrote back to him and I said, I don't expect an answer to this second letter because I know you're really busy. I would like to suggest, though, that you use the resources and the reach of your and other institutions like yours to start a nationwide dialogue that ends in real action for change. So I'll be watching. And I thought, yeah. And I thought, you know, that was pretty timely. That was pretty cool that came at the time it did. So if anything comes of that, I'll let you know, because I thought of all the places. I said, you know, maybe really some higher learning could occur if we do that. And I thought, yes, you know, if we can just garner these institutions and these $1.4 million budgets that are squirrel holed somewhere for armaments and pull that out and put it into dialogue and action and community organizing, then there's a chance. I think there's a real chance. So Megan, go get her so she can hear our blessings, would you?
What is she up to anyway? We missed her.
She's taking care of her mom, who's been in the hospital. So she went to pick up her mom. So Megan, you're just in time for Preeti, why don't you say your piece and then you can go if you need to.
Megan, wish you a very happy birthday in advance. I bless you to show way to so many more people that you truly have the heart and the mind and your soul committed to. So I wish you a blissful coming years for a very long time. Thank you.
Thank you. Nice.
Who's next? Okay, Cynthia, please.
Happy birthday, 60th year, sister. And may we celebrate our 61st on Crete in the Minoan temples. And may all your wishes come true.
Thank you.
Who's next, please? Now, please.
Hi, Megan. Happy early birthday to you. And just, I give so much thanks to you and for you and for everything that you've brought to my life. And I've learned so much from you. And you're just an infinite blessing to all of us who get to know you. So much love and happy early birthday.
Thank you.
Cheryl, you had your hand up.
I did. I was relishing in what Felicia said. Anyway, I feel like it's such a gift to have you in my life and to know such a dynamic soul as yourself and all your creativity and your intelligence and the amazing community of bringing people together and sharing all you know. And you're such a gift in the world. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And may you continue to create and find harmony and peace in your life and all your great creations. And may many more of your dreams come true.
Yeah, thank you.
Yay. Tammy, please.
Bonne fête à toi, bonne fête à toi, bonne fête, bonne fête, bonne fête, Megan.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being in my life, Megan. You've rocked my world. You really have. And she has. And, you know, I just love you to bits. And I just want to continue. You know, let's bring it home.
All right.
All right. Best to you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tamir. Would you go next? And then Stella, wind us up. Thanks.
Beloved one, I hope this year holds celebration after celebration after celebration for you. Woo. Every bit of it belongs to you. I love you. Thank you.
Happy early birthday, and I'm so grateful that you were born on the day that you were born, under the stars that you were born under, to have the impact in my life and in the world that you've had. And as Diane was saying earlier, that you had wanted to be in Crete to celebrate your 60th. And as she was saying that, I could see you dancing in that temple that you have to hike 5 hours to get to. A fairly strong hiker, or you can take a 10-minute boat ride. If, you know, it's like, why did I know about the boat ride until after the 5-hour hike? But in any event, it's like I can sort of see you dancing in that labyrinth and dancing in that temple and swimming naked off the pier. I really hope this part of the recording will not be on the public website. But I remember that a few weeks ago, the Grand Council had us do a journey where we traveled all around the world. And I sort of see us all gathering at a certain time, whatever time you pick on your birthday, to journey together to Crete astrally and play with you and dance with you and celebrate your life.
Oh, so, thank you.
Here's to many more in this lifetime and in other lifetimes where our paths cross.
Thank you, Stella. Wow, thank you, everybody. That was great.
Yeah, it's a perfect opportunity. And here's to the next 60 in the next 60. So I just have one piece of housekeeping, two pieces of housekeeping. One is there anyone who's on the screen now, in the call now, who will not be with us next week that you know of? Tamir will not. Okay. Thank you. We have a couple of people who intended to be here and then things came up at the last minute, so they'll be with us next week. And I thought I would give you the theme for, not next week, yeah, next week. The theme is the one thing I will change in the next 3 months and why. And that is as open as it sounds. Always we like it if we can tie it into our mastery. So if there is a way to do that for you that's genuine and authentic for you to talk about, great. And otherwise, but this is really like a commitment sort of statement, not like, oh, I think I'd like to change world peace. If it's, I'm going to change world peace and this, I'm going to do it and this is why, and you go do it, then please share it. Otherwise, it's just a pipe dream. Okay? Thank you for fronting up. Take good care, and bless you for being so loving and so honest and so giving. I treasure each of us very, very deeply. Thank you.
Thank you,
everybody.
Bye.
Good week.
Bye. Bye-bye.